The study of our subject today is the idea of the grace of God, the doctrine of God's grace. And to feather in the idea of it being Father's Day is certainly an easy task for me to do today. Because when we talk about this wonderful subject of God's grace and unmerited favor toward mankind, we're talking about the way of a father's love and care. Start with me in Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse 41, and read there in regard to how we're to behave, in regard to how we treat other people. And he notes about those people who help only those who help them, how that's just not the right way to go at all. And how that we're to be people who help and assist others along the way. And he says, so shall you be the children of your Father who is in heaven. Our real Father, our real Heavenly Father, is an important person to us. And we are thankful for His love and care for our lives. And so it is that in this way, we look today to thank God for His Heavenly Fathership. For He is truly our Dad. He is truly loves us and cares for us. And we love Him in return in a great, wonderful way. Jesus goes on to explain about that in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 9 when he talks about people who are fathers and how that their sons make requests of them and how that if a son asks for a piece of bread, a father doesn't give him a stone in place of a piece of bread. And if he asks for a fish, he goes on to say in Matthew 7 and in verse 10, he doesn't give him a serpent to play with, a snake to play with because he asked for a fish. And he says then the conclusion of this is this. If you being evil, that is your ungodly men, your sinful men, and you're sinful around your children, yet you know how to give good gifts to your children that ask you. You're sinful and wicked in your ways, but you know how to give good gifts to your children that ask of you. So much more so shall your Father give unto you when you make request of Him those things that are good and righteous and helpful to you. And so it is the tribute to the Father of God of heaven himself and to our lives is that God doesn't miss it out. He doesn't just not care about us, but our requests unto God are important to Him. Peter will sum this up in 1 Peter 3 at verse 12 when he says this regarding this God who loves us and cares for us. He says, His eyes are upon or over the righteous, and His ears are subject to their prayers. Our Heavenly Father sees what's going on, and He hears our prayers. You know, sad to say, I did a study back years ago, and two different studies, in fact, and I had over 1,100 cases of individual brethren talking with me in regard to prayer lives in this state of Mississippi, in the Delta, in the hills, and far around. I found a great percentage of that number not to ever enter into prayer from day to day. They thought about prayer. They thought they should do prayer. They heard about requests for prayer. They heard about prayer lists that were read. But they never really got on to a prayer. And they admitted along the way as they studied with me about this particular topic and a few questions that I raised that they knew they should, they believed they should, and believed it'd be good for them to do that. But they hardly ever got on to voicing a thank you to God for their prayer life. Much less pray more deeply about our country, about the needs of our neighbors and friends and family members, and about our relationship to one another. We thought about praying, but we didn't. Is that still true of us? Is the percentage change different here than in other places? I don't know. I hope it is. I really hope it is. I hope that when requests are made, please pray for us. Pray for this congregation. Pray for the website and its goodness to be done. We're beginning to have response from people all around that we're telling about this particular website. And they are enjoying and benefiting from the 1 minute of study and then the further request of more information. And we have libraries and materials. Boy, the other day, Brother Richard was able to see, I got a whole library in the house and got a whole library of shelves, books and everything and papers and all like that. That we can add copies of this material. We can copy it and present to the people, send back to them, and so forth and so on. And as a result of that, pray for them and pray for the good that can be done. Pray for our nation and the things that can happen. God can make the change, even in sinful Persia. He said, my servant Cyrus. My servant Cyrus. Cyrus is a Persian. He's a man who has a stargazing. And his family and friends are idolaters. How has he become the servant of the Lord? Yet in the providence of God, he was going to have a heart that would be thoughtful about the people, and the Lord would stir up his heart, and he would make a proclamation and allow the Jews to return home, and not only allow them to return home, but he would allow them to return in a very orderly way home, so that they wouldn't trample over one another, run down one another, and be back there and have no house to live in, no place to bay, and no place to put their crops, no have fields to be harvested. And so he allowed them to go back a third of them at a time. And as a result, houses were built and things were done. And then, bless your heart, the people were weary in their ways. And they got back there and they built their own houses. In fact, Amos the prophet is sent to dispatch to them and say that not only this has been done and this way is a way that's not right and good. I'm not a prophet, he said, or the son of a prophet, but you need to pay attention to God of heaven. And Hosea then is dispatched to tell them the following. You have dwelt in your sealed houses. Yet the Lord's house still lieth waste. And then he says, you have placed your money in a bag, a pocket full of holes. We warn our little children, don't we, men? Don't check out your pocket first. Don't put your money in a pocket that's got a hole in it, because you're going to lose your money. You're going to walk away from it. It's going to be on the ground. It's going to be not there when you need it. And you're going to talk about it to them. And that's what Hosea is saying to these folks. Your trust is being God and follow His right way. You need to be people who are worshiping the Lord. You need to be people who thank God for the blessings you have. And those sealed houses that you dwell in, while they've been lived in, and you've seen the spots that they need to be sealed up, and you've seen the work that you need to do to make it better to live in, and you've done that work, now you dwell in sealed houses, and the Lord's house lieth waste. You put money in a bag full of holes. You put your trust in the wrong place. And so this God of heaven who loves us and cares about us and wants us to dwell in His right way and good things is our Father who cares and who works within our lives. And so it is that as he pays attention to old Cyrus back there, and he wakes him, and he works his heart, and he stirred up his heart, and he made a proclamation, allowed them to go back home, and to go back in a very orderly way so they could live there. And yet the sinful ways of the people were such nature that prophets need to be sent to them to remind them along the way that God needs to be served faithfully. We that are younger, and we that are older, and we that are middle-aged, and we that are slightly older than that, maybe find ourselves that we examine ourselves and break this bread, examine ourselves and drink this fruit of the vine, that I'm not where I need to be in my respect for God, my appreciation for God, my appreciation for the Lord's love for me. And as a result, we repent here and proper, we repent before God. And so we eat of that bread and drink that fruit of the vine on a weekly basis. And then as we go forth in our daily walk, we find ourselves saying, Lord, I haven't thanked you enough for the food I eat. I haven't thanked you enough for the place I have. I haven't thanked you enough for the children we have. I haven't thanked you enough for all the blessings of life that we have. And we begin to do that more and more. And his ears, what did Peter say, 1 Peter 3:12? His ears are subject to our prayers. We're praying for things to be better and be good. And wonderful it is. How does that tie in with the grace of God? Well, this fatherhood and this idea of care, what about the mercy that a father has for a child who asks for bread? Will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent to play with? That's not the grace. That's not the mercy, the unmerited favor of a good father. But the good father is one who cares for him. And if you, being evil, know how to do that, Much more does God know how to do that for your lives too. He is not the evil Father, and He knows good things to bestow upon those who ask of Him. Let's ask of Him. Let's be people of prayer. Let's be people who are men who lead in prayer. Lead the thoughts about how we ought to pray. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we find a great passage that not only gives us a definition, but also gives us an illustration. Wonderful are the words that we find in God's Word as well as in common English. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 is the passage that gives us a definition and gives us an illustration at the same time. If you can have a word that you give a definition and illustration, you're far ahead because you can see a word picture of what you're talking about. He says there in 2 Corinthians 8 at verse 9, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich." That is an illustration and a definition. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich. He was in heaven. He was with the Father. He had eternal power and ways. Yet there was a body that was made for Him, from Hebrews 10, and He was willing to inhabit that body and do the will of the Heavenly Father. So He inhabited that body, began to do the will of the Heavenly Father, and carry out that daily walk. As He did that, He kept the ways of the Lord. He did the righteous cause of God. Wonderful, wonderful were the results. Though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. For man's needs, freedom from sin, made possible by the pure blood of Christ, and the fact that He was sinless in His ways and died taking our sins in His own body, and the hope that you and I have rest in Him. Wonderful is that relationship we have with the Heavenly Father because He was willing to come and do that. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. I can be forgiven. I can be made rich. I can be made to have a hope of living in that heaven with the Heavenly Father someday. Wonderful is this relationship I can have with Him. All because of whom? Because of Jesus and His wonderful grace toward us. Paul wrote to Titus about that grace in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, and said, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust." If I'm following the grace teaching of our Lord and His Heavenly Father, and I want to be the child of that Heavenly Father toward my fellow man, Matthew 5, and toward my own children, Matthew 7, I want to be a person who cares enough that I live righteous life before the eyes of God, and I make requests in prayer. I bend the ear of God as I pray. He hears, and I'm the Father. Now I'm the loving love with my Father, my real Father in heaven. Wonderful it is if I have that relationship with Him that's described here. I've denied ungodliness and denied worldly lust. There are places and there are people that are filled with ungodly practices and ungodly ways. Some of those ungodly practices in life, if I decide I'll go out and get an automobile, my truck, or my car, and I'll go down the road, I'll imperil, I'll danger, I'll kill. Because that's a dangerous thing in my life. That won't represent the right cause of God. That won't represent the right things of the Lord at all. And ungodliness, the ungodly things and worldly lust. If I might find myself with someone who likes the lust of life, not the love of life, but the lust of the world, the lust of the ways of life, I need to be taught by a godly Father the guidance of how to think toward other people, how to think toward men and women, how to think toward godliness rather than worldly lust practices. And then he says, in a positive way, this grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, but to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. To live in such a way that right is upheld and good is upheld. That's the tribute of love, as you read in 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes, hopes, and endures. It does not rejoice in evil or iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's the way of real love. And so this grace guides me toward teaching that way. His word guides me. And the more and more we study and talk about these things and pray about these things, the better we will be as a congregation and as individual members here. Be a part of our Bible classes. Be a part of all the preparation that's done. Be a part of the love for God that's talked about and prayed about. And because of that, we'll make better decisions when we go off to school someday. We'll make better decisions when we go off to a marriage someday. We'll make better decisions when we buy property and do business someday. We'll make better decisions when we approach to the grave someday. And it can be said of us, this person listened, this person heeded his Father's will. And because of that grace guidance toward us and leadership toward us, we lived a different way of life than ungodliness and left and worldly lust being satisfied. We find ourselves looking for sobriety and holiness and righteousness.
We can be made holy. Holy, as described by Paul in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, is of an individual believer being baptized into Christ, beginning to live that newness of life. If you've done that in days gone by, you know the great blessing of it. And if you've fallen away from that way, like Simon in Acts chapter 8 at verse 22, through repentance and prayer, you may return to that righteous, holy way of life, that sober way of thinking and doing. And as a result of the guidance of the Heavenly Father, you can be doing the Father's will in your daily walk of life.